These are the things that we learn about God from this text. Of course, it's too much of a narrative to sort of take in. That's why I'm giving you this overview ahead of time. But what we want to do is we want to read these first verses that constitute chapter 5 in our Bible. So if you have your text, these are the verses I want to read. And we'll just look at this first part of it today. So, and the Philistines took the ark of God and brought it from Ebenezer unto Ashdod. When the Philistines took the ark of God, they brought it into the house of Dagon and set it by Dagon. And when they of Ashdod arose early on the morrow, behold, Dagon was fallen upon his face to the earth before the ark of the Lord. And they took Dagon and set him in his place again. And when they arose early on the morrow morning, behold, Dagon was fallen upon his face to the ground before the ark of the Lord. And the head of Dagon and both the palms of his hands were cut off upon the threshold. Only the stump of Dagon was left to him. Therefore, neither the priests of Dagon nor any that come into Dagon's house tread on the threshold of Dagon in Ashdod unto this day. And the hand of the Lord was heavy upon them of Ashdod, and he destroyed them, and smote them with emerods, even Ashdod and the coasts thereof. And when the men of Ashdod saw that it was so, they said, the ark of the God of Israel shall not abide with us, for his hand is sore upon us and upon Dagon our God. They sent therefore and gathered all the lords of the Philistines unto them and said, what shall we do with the ark of the God of Israel? They answered, let the ark of the God of Israel be carried about unto Gath. And they carried the ark of God of Israel about thither. And it was so that after they had carried it about, the hand of the Lord was against the city with a very great destruction. And he smote the men of the city, both small and great, and they had emeralds in their secret parts. Therefore, they sent the ark of God to Ekron, and it came to pass, as the ark of God came to Ekron, that the Ekronites cried out, saying, they have brought about the ark of God of Israel to us to slay us and our people. So they sent and gathered together all the lords of the Philistines and said, send away the ark of God of Israel and let it go again to his own place, that it slay us not and our people. For there was a deadly destruction throughout all the city. The hand of God was very heavy there. And the men that died not were smitten with the emerods. And the cry of the city went up to heaven. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this text. Thank you for allowing us to be reminded that you are indeed the true, living, only God. And thank you for making us your people. Help us to understand more about you from this passage. Help us to relate to you as you would have us to. And God, we long to see your name exalted throughout the nations. In Jesus' name and for his sake we pray. Amen. Amen. You know, in the history of the Israelites, there are a few passages that sort of stand out that touch upon this theme here. And I want to read a couple of them to you. Baal boweth down. Nebo stupid. Their idols were upon the beasts and upon the cattle. Your carriages were heavy loaden. They are a burden to the weary beast. They stoop. They bow down together. They could not deliver the burden, but themselves are gone into captivity. Hearken unto me, O house of Jacob, and all the remnant of the house of Israel, which are born by me from the belly, which are carried from the womb. And even to your old age, I am he. And even to the four hairs will I carry you. I have made, and I will bear. Even I will carry and will deliver you. To whom will you liken me and make me equal and compare me that we may be like? They lavish gold out of the bag and weigh silver in the balance and hire a goldsmith and he maketh it a god. They fall down. Yea, they worship. They bear him up. They bear him upon the shoulder. They carry him and set him in his place. And he standeth. From his place shall he not remove. Yea, one shall cry unto him. Yet can he not answer, nor save him out of his trouble? Remember this, and show yourselves men. Bring it again to mind, O ye transgressors. Remember the former things of old? For I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, My counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. Calling on a ravenous bird from the east, the man that executeth my counsel from a far country. Yea, I have spoken it, I will also bring it to pass. I have purposed it, I will also do it. Hearken unto me, ye stout-hearted, that are far from righteousness. I will bring near my righteousness, it shall not be far off, and my salvation shall not tarry. And I will place salvation in Zion for Israel. My glory. You look at a passage like this, what do you see? You see the contrast of the gods that need to be carried by their people, and that the true God is the one who carries his people. Let's look at one more. This one is from the Psalms. Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory. For thy mercy and for thy truth's sake. Wherefore should the heathen say, Where is now their God? But our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. Their idols are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they speak not. Eyes they have, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. Noses they have, but they smell not. They have hands, but they handle not. Feet have they, but they walk not. Neither speak they through their throat. They that make them are like unto them. So is everyone that trusteth in them. O Israel, trust thou in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. O house of Aaron, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. O ye that fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. The Lord hath been mindful of us. He will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. He will bless them that fear the Lord, both small and great. The Lord shall increase you more and more, you and your children. Ye are blessed of the Lord which made heaven and earth. The heaven, even the heavens are the Lord's, but the earth he hath given to the children of man. The dead praise not the Lord, neither any that go down into silence. But we will bless the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. Praise the Lord. So this is a common theme in the Old Testament, in the writings of the Hebrews. It is also a theme in the New Testament, though not in the same way. Jesus says, for example, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one goes to the Father but through me, he says, excluding all other ways. He is the true God. In fact, in 1 John, who is the same author, I believe, who penned the words that we have in John 14, it tells us at the end of his book that we have known the true God. Jesus is the true God, and life is in him. And do you know how that book ends? Darrell knows. He preached on it. Keep yourselves from idols. Now, what is an interesting note here is that some people have speculated that John, 1 John, the book of 1 John, might actually be the last book of the New Testament that was penned. Now, it's not last in the canon or in the sequence that we have. We have the book of Revelation. But think of it like this, that the very last words that may have actually been penned that are inspired writings are these words, children, keep yourselves from idols. Now, of course, we're not like the Philistines. We don't have a temple and we don't have an image and we don't have, you know, a piece of stone that we take and worship and think, oh, there's our God. But we do the same thing in the church today, don't we? We visualize God as if he is dependent on us. I sort of overheard some of the Sunday school today, and I thought it was interesting given what we're talking about today in our lesson from Samuel. God does not need us. If there is anything that comes out of this text, it's this. God is supreme. He is sovereign over all peoples, and he is self-sufficient. Theologians used to refer to this as the aseity of God, that God is in and of himself, from ans, se, of himself. The aseity of God is a doctrine that today is forgotten. Some of our hymns almost leave the impression that if we don't do the bidding of God, God's bidding won't get done. Some of these tunes that you hear, you know, some of the songs that they've been quoted by writers, you know, they leave the impression that, you know, God is dependent on us. You know, how many times have you heard a sermon or a preacher say, oh, we are the hands of God and we are the feet of God and we have to have the heartbeat of God and you know, we need to go out there and do his work and all this. And, you know, the liberal social agenda of the 1920s was that we build the kingdom. And if we don't do it, it won't get done. That is a far cry from the Bible and what the scriptures actually teach about God. If anything else, this is certainly true. And like I said, we're only scratching the surface. We just read the text today. We can't do much more. Time's running out. But this is the truth. At the end of the day, what we find in this text is that God is supreme, he is sovereign, and he is self-sufficient. That's all I can give you today. We don't have any more time. But let me look briefly at these first verses. When it says that the hand of God was heavy upon them, I want you to learn one thing today. The words that are used here in the original Hebrew are a formation, a cognate of the word for glory. You remember at the end of chapter 4, what did the woman say? She said, Ichabod, right? Kabod, this verb, this word, this heaviness, this idea of God being heavy is what he's doing. He's being heavy on them. His glory departed from Israel, but it fell on the Philistines in a very heavy-handed manner. You know, today we hear like kids say the word awesome all the time. You know, back in the day they used to say, oh man, that's heavy. Yeah, some of the older folks I guess remember that. You know, the kids today, they don't know what that means, right? They think awesome is the big word, right? Or whatever is cool or whatever it is today. I don't know. But nonetheless, back in the day, they would say things like, that's heavy, man. And that idea, unbeknownst to them, is actually a biblical idea. The idea of God's weight, God's glory, is his weightiness. It's his heaviness. You know, a man of glory, a man of prestige, we say, this man has a presence. He's a heavy man in that sense, not because he's big, but because he has a persona. And that's the God of Scripture. He's glorious. And even though the glory departed and they cried, and God judged his people and departed from them, he became heavy upon the enemies of God. He didn't need the Israelites to beat the Philistines. He is supreme, he's sovereign, and he is, how many is that, great? And self-sufficient. That, my friends, is what I leave you with today. We'll pick up next time and we'll continue this trek through this book. We don't have any more time for today. But pray with me and let's remember that our God doesn't need us, but he has chosen in his grace to want us. And that is truly a remarkable thing. The supreme, sovereign, and self-sufficient God didn't need to create us. He didn't need us for anything in himself. But out of the abundance of his grace and his love, created image bearers that that he can fellowship with, and they get all the blessing from it. He derives nothing from it himself that is not already intrinsically his. We do not add glory to God. We glorify him, and he delights in us glorifying him. But he is all glorious from eternity to eternity. Thou art God, the triune God, receives glory, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, in the inner workings of the Trinity, and that from all eternity. He doesn't need us. He is supreme, sovereign, self-sufficient. But oh, he is also very graceful in saving his people. For that, we can thank him. Let's pray.
Lord, thank you for giving us these few moments to reflect on this passage. And God, I pray in days ahead as we look at it in more detail, that you would give us a sense of this gravitas, this heaviness, this glory that is yours intrinsically, and that we would be moved by it, God, that we would recognize you as the God of gods. You are the true living God. There is no other. Who is like me, you tell us in your word. That's why we cry out with the psalmist, to you alone be glory, not to us, God, but to your name. And Lord, we long for your fame and for the glory to redound through the nations so that people will be turned to a relationship with the true living God through your Son in the power of the Holy Spirit. God, we ask these things for your sake in the name of your Son. Amen.